Bibles, please, for our second reading to Micah chapter 3. Micah chapter 3, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And I said, Hear, I pray you, O heads of Jacob, and ye princes of the house of Israel. Is it not for you to know judgment, who hate the good and love the evil, who pluck off their skin from off them and their flesh from off their bones, who also eat the flesh of my people and flay their skin from off them, and they break their bones and chop them in pieces as for the pot and as flesh within the cauldron? Then shall they cry unto the Lord, but he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them at that time, as they have behaved themselves ill in their doings. Thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people err, that bite with their teeth and cry, Peace. And he that putteth not into their mouths, they even prepare war against them, against him. Therefore night shall be unto you, that ye shall not have a vision, and it shall be dark unto you, that ye shall not divine. And the sun shall go down over the prophets, and the day shall be dark over them. Then shall the seers be ashamed, and the diviners confounded. Yea, they shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer of God. But truly, I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord, and of judgment, and of might, to declare unto Jacob his transgression, and to Israel his sin. Hear this, I pray you, ye heads of the house of Jacob, and princes of the house of Israel, that abhor judgment, and pervert all equity. They build up Zion with blood, and Jerusalem with iniquity. The heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire, and the prophets thereof divine for money. Yet will they lean upon the Lord and say, Is not the Lord among us? None evil can come upon us. Therefore shall Zion for your sake be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house as the high places of the forest. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. I have this chapter divided into two sections, I believe. Yep, two sections. The first I have verses 1 through 7, where we speak of the princes and the false prophets of the people. The princes, first of all, he speaks to them of their duty, which they had perverted. They ought to have known judgment, justice, mercy, and caring for the least of the land, and instead there was robbery, oppression, the objectifying of the people, and of the nation for their own gain. And the Lord uses some very stark terminology in dealing with this. He tells them that it is as if, and this isn't what they were really doing, but it's a metaphor, that they treated the people like they were animals for the pot. They flayed their skin from off them, they broke their bones, and so on. In other words, they had so completely objectified them that they had become objects to them, objects for their own pleasure, objects for their own gain. Instead of their own flesh, instead of their brothers and sisters, they had become a means by which they could become rich by stealing from them, by oppressing them, by passing oppressive laws. And we might say that this is a temptation for every government, is it not? So that's the first. And woe to those governments that oppress. Woe to those governments that treat the people that they're supposed to care for as those who ought to be sacrificing so they can maintain their luxuriant lifestyle, right? I mean, we hear about these kinds of things all the time. We hear about these wonderful state dinners that are, $5,000 a plate, paid for by the taxpayers, when the people of the land are overtaxed and we all, I mean, how many times over the last 10 or 15 or 20 years have we heard, okay, we're going to roll the taxes back now, we're taxing too much? Well, no, we don't hear that. Okay, and then the Lord declares that for their oppression, he will not hear them. And the use we ought to make of this passage is that when those who are in authority, who ought to be easily entreated by those under them authority, err in that they are not easily entreated, the Lord will not be entreated of them. The second use is that they ought not to expect that he will be entreated until they restore that which they have oppressively taken as they have opportunity. Right? I mean, the Bible does teach restitution, and restitution is a biblical doctrine that is not relegated only to the Old Testament. We ought to be making things right to the best of our ability even today. That's why the apostle says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, that he may have to give to those who are in need. That is a New Testament version of restitution. It is an empty repentance that says, I guess I was wrong. Right? Okay, so then the Lord turns his attention, secondly, to the false prophets. And note that it is by a prophet that he speaks to these imposters. They bite with their teeth. In other words, although they're speaking, since their words are not the word of God, they are injurious. If we listen to something other than the word of God and guide our activity, guide our lives by it, we are being injured and not helped. The word of God is that which brings health to the bones and profit to the life. Profitability, right? Good favor. If we are living according to the commands and counsels of Christ in Scripture, all other things being equal, we can expect a profitability. And there will always be profitability in your soul. But if we're living according to the commands and counsels of something else, something other than the Word of God, it is like being bitten. Sometimes we won't even know it. We won't even recognize it. All right, so they call for peace, but not peace among God's people. They say they shall have peace, even in their sinfulness, while they are ripe for judgment. They refuse to call the people to account for their sins, and in so doing, it is as if they are biting them. And the calls in this preparing war against them, this is most telling. When ministers coddle in sin, when we do not confront, when we do not call for repentance, when such is appropriate, all we do is we prepare for destruction, don't we? We prepare folks for greater and greater chastisements. Remember, it is the faithful wounds of a friend that correct us. And the Lord will take away the vision, finally. The word of God will be hid from those ministers and prophets. And note, finally, the Lord will stop the mouths of those prophets, in great contrast to his true prophet, Micah. And in the final section, in verse 8, Micah says, but I am full of power by the Spirit of God. And you see the contrast there. It's a right contrast that we're supposed to see between the false prophets and between Micah. The Lord is diminishing the vision of the false prophets. But notice Micah says, I am full of strength by the Spirit of the Lord, and of judgment and of might to declare unto Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. And so woe unto those ministers today that refuse to call out sin when it is something that needs to be called out. They behave themselves more like the false prophets of Micah's day than the true prophet Micah, who was full of the power of the Spirit of the Lord to call the people out when they needed to be called out. It's a very important passage, isn't it? Full of power, note, this is also seen in judgment and might to declare to Jacob their transgressions and to Israel their sins. And note that he pleads with them. Hear this, I pray you, he says. The Hebrew there says, I pray you. It's a very good, a very accurate translation. And so he pleads with them. And see here the great heart of God calling the people to their senses. Turning to the magistrates and to the rulers, he pleads with them to repent. They abhor judgment, that is, they will not do right. and support the meek and defenseless. They pervert equity. That is, they have not considered the law and administered according to it, but have ruled for their own pleasure, indulging and enriching themselves, seeking advantage. And turning to the south, he says that that it is through blood and iniquity that they have built the city. So, brothers and sisters, remember that if we would have our families whole, healthy, and living in the light of God's grace, that it will be through obedience to the law of God. The want of equity and judgment only builds by oppression and doing violence to the God of the Scriptures. And then note finally the word to the ministers of the gospel. Teaching for hire and divining for money is abhorrent to the Lord. Did you hear that? Teaching for hire and divining for money is abhorrent to the Lord. The Apostle Paul speaks of this when he writes that one must not become a leader in the church for filthy lucre's sake. Note that they do not divine, nor teach, nor minister for money. That's not why. In other words, what's happening here is that when a minister has a lawful calling, he should be paid a salary, because those that what? Preach the gospel should live by the gospel. Now, we understand that. We understand that. This is not talking about those particular situations. This is talking about over and above that calling that they had received. And so there are churches today that hold private paid services where you can pay the officer of the church to come and do something private for you. Normally we see this in the sacerdotal churches, where the authority of the priest is that, you know, that he can do some things that other people can't with regard to objects, right? We understand that, relics and other things, and blessings and so on. And you know that those things are paid for today. But there are many who would call a priest to come to their house and they will pay him to bless it. Or they will pay him to hold a private mass. As a matter of fact, the living that some men make in the ministry is just a very small part of their take, because they divine for money. This is abhorrent to the Lord. Abhorrent. I read an article the other day about a fight that's going on in some of these very large mega churches, where the congregation and the minister are arguing over who owns the sermon, because they have found that people will pay for this, to download an audio sermon. And so the minister and the congregation are fighting over where that money belongs. You see, these are the kinds of things that we get into when we divine for money. And this is indeed shameful. And it's not relegated to Micah's age. We see this today as well. So, the Lord makes it very clear then that it is not the regular salary, not this you know, living from the gospel that is being spoken of here. This is over and above that living that was owed. Even in the law, the Levites were cared for through the means of God's appointment. This is over and above that. So ministers should be content with that. Ministry outside their churches ought to be limited so as not to create distractions and advantages that will rob the people of the ministry of their pastor. There are other abuses as well. Ministers build up huge followings and book sales outside of their churches. Care must be taken that these do not devolve into ministries of their own, drawing off attention and time from the flock that the Lord has charged him with, right? You see, all these things are very important. In synagogues today, you can go and you can buy tickets for the High Holy Days. And if you don't buy a ticket, like the man said, no ticky, no laundry. You don't get to come. That's right. There are churches you have to buy seats to attend. You know why this is, right? Remember 2 weeks ago? Sorry. Last week? It's because people are not tithing. Because people are not tithing, we're robbing God. There's not enough in the church to handle the ministry. And so all of these other means are being pressed instead. Or we have these great big multi-mega ministries that are doing far beyond what the Lord ever intended the tithe to cover. It's Christ's kingdom. If we would stick to his method, we would do so much better. All right, then note that after this covetousness, they have the audacity to say, we're simply ministering. Is not the Lord among us? And this is the way it is said today is that the ministry is expanding. The Lord is blessing. But the Lord says, as he closes this chapter, because of these things, Jerusalem shall be plowed as a field. So we must be very careful how we order the ministry of the church, that it does not grow into something, again, monstrous, deformed, that it was never intended to be. Let's stand and continue.